they're going to go to work for. The only example where anybody actually paid a price was a tanker program that John McCain got his teeth into, and an executive from Boeing and the contractor of the executive in the Pentagon who helped them out actually did jail time. Now, it was probably at Club Fed, but it was still jail time. And it was an indication of something that happens all the time being punished in some small way.
You have been listening to Bill Hartung of the Center for International Policy, who spoke at Dr. Helen Caldicott's symposium on the dynamics of possible nuclear extinction. And that wraps up our extended edition of Flashpoints here on KBOO. Stick around. Up next, it's Words and Pictures.
KBOO would like to say thank you to our community partners that are feeding our volunteers today. Breakfast is from Gravy at 3957 North Mississippi Avenue, open at 7:30 a.m. every day and serving breakfast till 3 p.m. Lunch is served on weekdays after 11 a.m. Lunch is from Riyadh's Lebanese Restaurant at 1318 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. Experience a variety of Middle Eastern dishes like shawarma, kebabs, hummus, and more. Dinner is from Bridges Cafe and Catering at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Committed to using local and organic ingredients, breakfast served every day, all day, and lunch on weekends.
Words and Pictures, a special membership drive edition. I'm your host, SW Conser, and we have an incredible show for you today. Chuck Palahniuk is joining us in the studio. He is the writer of the new Fight Club 2 comic series that's out from Dark Horse. And we're also joined right now in the studio by Dark Horse editor-in-chief Scott Alley. We're really delighted to have Scott in the studio to talk about this project. Scott, welcome to Words and Pictures.
Thanks a lot.
And what can you tell us about this project here? This has a couple of amazing artists on board. It's got Cameron Stewart. It's got David Mack. It's there's a variant cover by a couple of amazing Portland people, Steve Lieber.
Yeah, we did a lot of variant covers for this one with a lot of like unique opportunities to sell the book into specialty shops. So we did one with local retailer T-Faw with a cover by Steve Lieber and Chuck, and Steve will be doing a signing there in June.
June 5th at Things from Another World on Broadway. And so this takes place, this story takes place 10 years after the original Fight Club book that was turned into a movie by David Fincher. It's written by Chuck Palahniuk. And it's got some amazing new twists and turns. This is something that's reinvented in a new form here. It's totally different from the novel, from the movie. It's going to be a 10-part comic series so far.
Yeah, it debuts at the end of May. We had a kind of a preview book, not a preview book, but a prequel book that came out for Free Comic Book Day on May 2nd, I think, where Chuck recapped the end of the novel but kind of spun it in a different way. We did that knowing that a lot of people will remember the movie maybe better than they remember the novel, and the endings are slightly different. So the Free Comic Book Day book sort of reminds you what those differences are, and also adds some kind of twists that you didn't see, sort of like between scenes sort of activity that's really important to the story that kicks off with issue one.
Now I hear this was a real labor of love that Chelsea Kane was sort of the midwife.
Yep.
She's a great novelist, a person who does a lot of thrillers, works here in Portland, but also is really generous and brings in a lot of other novelists, young and old, and also comics people. And apparently Brian Michael Bendis was part of the birth of this project.
Chelsea is great, great friends with Kelly Sue DeConnick and Matt Fraction and Brian Michael Bendis. And there was this dinner, before I was involved in any of this, there was this dinner where they all had dinner with Chuck, and part of the conversation included the idea of Chuck doing a comic. Chuck had an idea for the sequel to Fight Club, and I think to him, it made a lot of sense that because it was so strong as a novel and so strong as a book, as a film, the sequel kind of had to be yet another thing, and that's part of the reason why he decided to do it as a graphic novel.
And he, of course, made the mistake of mentioning it at Comic-Con in San Diego, and it kind of went viral.
Yeah, he talked about it at Comic-Con a couple of years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago, he talked about it at Comic-Con, and nobody knew what he was talking about. There was no news out there. There was nothing happening actively with it, except that he was starting work on it. And then in a subsequent interview, he mentioned that he was talking to people at Marvel and Image and DC. And, I mean... And Dark Horse, Marvel, Image, and Dark Horse, and he did this interview that went out, and we saw it, and we like, my response was, "Who's he talking to at Dark Horse?" So I ran around the office to figure it out, and he wasn't talking to anyone, and it turned out that he was just thinking about the writers he was talking to, and that Matt, Kelly, and Brian had work at Image, Marvel, and Dark Horse. So. So then I talked to Kelly, I got in touch with Chelsea Kane, and Chelsea and David Mack were the ones that really put this thing together for me. Chelsea helped a lot, but David Mack is a good friend of mine, and he had been friends with Chuck for almost 10 years. He had just written Chuck a letter, and the two struck up a correspondence, and David is a sort of sometimes resident of Portland. He owns a house here. And he would meet up with Chuck when Chuck was in town, and they'd hang out a little bit. So David was able to put in a good word for me and for Dark Horse that led to Chuck choosing us.
Well, we're talking with Scott Alley, who's the editor-in-chief at Dark Horse Comics. And we know that you've got a million projects going on back at the office, but we will be joined by Chuck Palahniuk in just a few minutes. We want Scott to stick around just for a couple minutes, though, because we're going to be joined by Will right now. And Will, thanks for coming out and volunteering today at KBOO.
Thank you very much, Conch, for doing such a great show. I used to read Dark Horse comic books before I lost my eyesight. I'm a huge fan of Chuck Palahniuk, so this is a show that's definitely touching my heart. It's fascinating stuff, great guests, and another great show from Conch, Officer Concharello, as I like to call him. And you too can express your appreciation for this terrific show by picking up the phone and dialing 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. Really simple, very important. You'll be helping keep KBOO alive. It's a vital resource, KBOO, and so is your money. And you can make it happen. If you don't have money, though, to donate, then you can volunteer your time. That's what I do.
And we have a great thank you gift that Dark Horse has been generous enough to donate for $100 a year. Membership person renewing or new membership, and it's an incredible package of materials. And Scott, tell us about some of the materials that are available. This is a $75 value for a $100 pledge of support at toll-free 877-500-KBOO.
We put together a bunch of books and material highlighting the creators of Fight Club, and obviously this is Chuck's first comic, so we didn't have previous work by him. But Cameron Stewart did an award-winning hardcover graphic novel called Cintatulo, which was the book I put in Chuck's hands when I said I think Cameron's our guy, and Chuck read Cintatulo, loved it, and felt like it was on the mark. But it's this great kind of David Lynchian mystery story. Really beautiful work by Cameron and won an Eisner Award. A big oversized art book by David Mack called Dream Logic. It's like a 9x12 book, I think about 300 pages of incredible material.
Wow.
By David, including some of the preliminaries that he did for Fight Club that we didn't wind up using, but some of the early teasers and stuff. And then we also have a poster, the first issue, as well as the preview issue, and then a beautiful Hellboy hardcover graphic novel colored by Dave Stewart.
My gosh. Yeah, this $100 pledge of support at toll-free 877-500-KBOO. We only have one package. It's a $75 retail value, so definitely, definitely pick that one up.
Yeah, that's a remarkable collection of stuff. That sounds brilliant. Sounds really great. And you won't find that anywhere else. You could go into a comic book shop and maybe find some of those things, but not all together. So I think the retail value is maybe $75, but the actual value of the collection is much higher. And of course, Dark Horse is a local printing company, a comic book company, and which is something Portland can be very proud of. Another thing Portland can be very proud of is KBOO Radio. So please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. We have volunteers standing by, eager to answer the phone and take your pledge of support. No matter how much it is, whether it's $5 a month or a one-time payment of $50 or whatever you feel you can afford, you can go online, to kboo.fm and donate online, of course. But you can also come in to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, see where all these great shows are made. And or if you don't have time for any of that, please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. There's other opportunities too. There's lots of things to learn at KBOO. You can meet our volunteer coordinator. There's so much going on here and all sorts of different shows, whether it's about the imminent nuclear devastation or excellent comic books. A sequel to Fight Club just makes me extremely excited. I won't be able to read it, of course, but it's still an awesome thing to have out there. I have a poster up of Fight Club at home. I'm a huge Chuck Palahniuk fan, and people are always asking me if I know Tyler Durden. But if you know Tyler Durden or do not, either way, you should pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266.
Easy enough to do. You'll be glad you did, and so will we. It is an important thing to do here on this beautiful spring morning because KBOO runs on your support. That is how we stay on the air. We are the grassroots, listener-supported community radio station. And in fact, you're the community. You are the grassroots. You support. It's a reciprocal relationship, and right now we are waiting to hear from you. Let us wait no longer. Go ahead, pick up your phone and say, yeah, you want this Fight Club package deal from Dark Horse Comics. You just heard SW Concert talk about it with Scott Alley. We're very thankful to Dark Horse for making this available to our contributors this morning. A stack of books for one lucky KBOO member, again, featuring work by the Fight Club 2 creative team. First issue of Fight Club 2, free comic book day issue, the award-winning hardcover by Cameron Stewart. You've heard all about it. You've been listening to the program. Now pick up the phone. Your $100 contribution takes it home. It's so important that you make the call now as we are looking for, $300. And right now, you can make it happen. 877-500-5266. Bring your credit card to the phone and say, yes, $100 membership. You want the Fight Club package deal from Dark Horse Comics. Make the phone ring. Make our hearts happy. 877-500-5266.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, SW Conser. And today it's a great pleasure to be joined in the studio by Chuck Palahniuk, who is the author of Choke, Lullaby, and of course, Fight Club, which won the 1997 Oregon Book Award for Best Novel and was adapted into a film by David Fincher in 1999. So Chuck, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
So how did this project start? Fight Club 2, whose idea was this? Was it you that approached some comics folks, or was it comics folks who thought that you would be a good fit for one of their projects?
Actually, it was Chelsea Kane, the thriller writer and kind of guardian angel to so many people, Chelsea Kane here in Portland, through a dinner party where she invited Brian Bendis and his wife and Matt Fraction and his wife Kelly Sue. And the four of them, actually the five of them, kind of ganged up and pitched to me relentlessly on doing a graphic novel. And then I made the mistake of mentioning it on a panel at Comic-Con in San Diego just a few days later. And 1,100 highly connected people started to post it, started to blast it. And suddenly I found I was committed.
So Fight Club does have staying power. It's become a touchstone. I mean, it just hit the zeitgeist at the right moment. I can remember coming back from Seattle after the WTO ministerial and seeing Fight Club and, oh my God, this movie had pretty much captured what had been going on up there with large objects rolling through Starbucks and other corporate facades. And so you obviously had no idea that you were hitting a nerve at the time.
Well, my degree is in journalism from the University of Oregon, and so much of my writing is actually a kind of field study, talking to people and looking for what a lot of people are upset about or talking about or fixated on. And so, you know, I'm much more of a Studs Terkel than I am a Faulkner. And so often what I do is just... Is finding one anecdote that illustrates human experience and repeating that anecdote and allowing people to provide me with further examples that flesh out that anecdote with their own experience. And it's a way of developing a single idea until I have three or four really perfect examples of the anecdote. And those are things I can quilt together to demonstrate a larger dynamic.
I think you mentioned that Project Mayhem, which was sort of the group dynamic in Fight Club, that was inspired by the Portland Cacophony Society. You had a number of experiences back in the 90s with culture jamming, with pranking, with public theater, with some of the Cacophony Society folks here in town.
Right. There's little pieces of Cacophony in the book, and there's pieces of Scientology in the book, and there's pieces of Est in the book. Because at the same time I was doing Cacophony, I was doing Est. And so I kind of squirreled from everywhere.
Well, going back to journalism, you did a travelogue many years ago called Fugitives and Refugees, A Walk in Portland, Oregon. And it was really a stroll through some of your favorite neighborhoods, your favorite haunts, but also on journalistic terms, it was kind of reportage of some mythical moments in the city. And one of them was the 1996 Santa versus the police standoff outside Lloyd Center. And I can't help but think there's sort of a little bit of Tom Wolfe-style new journalism in that story.
You know, and those were the very last things to go into the book, because my proposal to Crown, this book is part of the Crown A Walk Through Travel series, and they had the biggest names at the time. Michael Cunningham wrote the very first one. And I joked that if they would pay me what they paid Cunningham, who was right on top of the hours and really was the writer of the moment, if they would pay me what they paid him, I would do Portland. And I wasn't ready to do it, but they agreed. And so initially I wrote trying to just document sort of fringe institutions like the Toy Museum and the Gas Station Museum. And Crown really wanted to see more of my life in that book. And so at the very last moment, I added those anecdotes, those stories that kind of document every few years.
Some of the strange, funky places and people and organizations that you read about in Fugitives and Refugees, they've sort of been crowded out of the new gentrified Portland.
And that was a big purpose of the book, was to document these very fragile fringe things and fragile fringe people who were about to disappear because they were old, because their lifestyles weren't really healthy. They were just about to wink out. And so I wanted to, in a way, preserve them to curate their vision, their little legacy. Because I knew most of the people who read the book would never come to Portland. The book has been picked up by over a dozen overseas publishers. And people in Turkey buy a lot of that book, but chances are they won't come here. And so in a way, I wanted to provide them a Portland experience without them having to make the trip.
You know, I'm just remembering a really funny, I'm thinking this was actually the San Francisco Cacophony a few years ago when you were touring behind the novel Choke. You had a bunch of waiters show up at a reading.
Right. That was over a decade ago. There was one event where the Cacophony Santas stormed the event and tried to hit me with a pie and ended up getting slugged by my publicist and hitting him with a pie. And then there was another one where the waiters came into the old Cody's bookstore on Telegraph in Berkeley, a huge auditorium, and that they vomited clam chowder and that they threw dinner rolls at one another, and the whole thing was kind of a melee for a while.
So this has definitely fed your reputation to be followed around by your former cohorts in Cacophony.
And also kind of taught me that unless I structure the events and I create a little very, very controlled chaos during the events, then that chaos is going to happen anyway. So now I'm really careful to make sure that when chaotic things happen, they are things that I have orchestrated.
Okay, can we expect some chaotic elements to the Things from Another World signing on June 5th?
No, in-store events are just kind of beyond the pale. I don't want to trash anybody's store. I don't want anybody's retail space to be destroyed. These tend to be crazy things that happen in the big auditorium events where we have a lot of room.
And you're touring currently behind the Fight Club graphic novel, the upcoming release, but also an upcoming release of a collection of short stories that you've put together.
Right, a collection called Make Something Up. And these are stories that I've written over the past 10 or 15 years, some of which were published in Playboy, which kind of put them out of the reach of a lot of my readership. So it's a big, big spectrum of stories that kind of follow the change in my style from very basic Tom Spanbauer minimalism through kind of Raymond Carver minimalism and into a kind of crazy post-punk experimental stage.
You just mentioned Tom Spanbauer. Tom Spanbauer is a really well-known Portland writer, and he's the dean of dangerous writing here in town, and he's inspired a whole bunch of people. He's been a teacher to you.
Right. I was one of Tom's first students. It was originally me and Tom Spanbauer and Monica Drake and two other people sitting around Tom's kitchen table on Thursday night.
So dangerous writing, this is not something Hemingwayian, it's not big-chested writing. This is going deep and finding stuff that scares you, the author.
Right. Tom's theory was that there's so little chance of you ever being published or drawing any kind of a recognition or financial reward from your effort, so that the writing itself should be therapeutic. It should allow you to explore and to really exhaust your feelings around a frightening, unresolved personal issue. And so if it does get published, that's all just gravy.
Well, certainly comic book creators have a reputation for being a little bit more accessible than authors. I don't know if that's changing in the digital age, but if you go to a comics convention, you can have a long conversation with your favorite person, whereas at a book signing, you might not be on the same footing.
Well, that's another aspect of the marketing that attracted me to comics. With books, it's really a horse race to get the book on the Times list the first week it's released. So that first week, that first 2 weeks, you're doing one event every night, trying to interact with as many people as possible, trying to just move as many copies of the book as you absolutely can, so that in 2 weeks when you hit the Times list, you hit it high and you stay on that list as long as possible. And that's really what marketing books is about. But with comics, it's a much more leisurely marketing where you don't have to do everything in 1 week or 2 weeks. You do things gradually throughout the year at stores, at conventions, and you do have a lot more time to spend with people. Comic people seem to have a lot less of the kind of ego politics that can spoil relationships between prose writers, novelists. And so I find that comic people are forced to collaborate as part of their medium, and it makes them more better socialized people.
What has working with comics people taught you? You've been working on the Fight Club 2 graphic novel with Cameron Stewart and David Mack, and of course, Dark Horse editor-in-chief Scott Alley. How has your writing for comics evolved as you've been working with this team?
The best part is that I don't have to be the expert anymore. I don't have to be the person that everyone is looking to solve the problem. That I can be the student again. And it's a wonderful place to be, to be studying and learning a whole different form of storytelling from people who do it very, very well. And God forbid, are so much younger than me. I'm actually learning new, fresh techniques from people who are 20 years younger than me. That feels terrific. That makes me feel a little bit younger. Beyond that, it's just kind of a joy to throw ideas around with people. It feels very much like junior high school, where we're figuring out what we can do differently, how we can break rules, how we can recognize conventions, and then not use those conventions, violate those conventions.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Counsellor, and we're here in the studio with Chuck Palahniuk. His new graphic novel from Dark Horse Comics is Fight Club 2. We're joined now by my friend Will. Will is going to tell you about how you can become a member of KBOO and get some great thank you gifts delivered to your door.
That's right, and it's my great pleasure to be here listening to this fascinating conversation between a great local author, a great local radio presenter, and talking about great local product, which is from Dark Horse Comics. This is all part of the community you live in, and it's part of the community that you recognize and love. The best way to join KBOO is by picking up your phone and dialing 877-500-5266. We have lovely volunteers standing by, eager to answer the phone when you call. And so, yeah, grab your credit card, whatever you feel is most comfortable, whether you want to make a one-time donation or you want to be the valuable sustaining member. It's up to you. But we have all sorts of great gifts still available. The wonderful prize from Dark Horse, though, is already gone.
Because, that went fast.
Yep, that went fast because it's a great gift. As soon as I heard about it, I was like, wow, that's an awesome gift.
However, we have, when you call toll-free 877-500-KBOO, you can get for a $60 pledge of support, $5 a month if you like, autographed copy of Mr. Wonderful, A Love Story by Daniel Clowes. He was the guest of honor just recently at the Linework Northwest Festival here in town, Festival of Comics and Illustration. This is a fan favorite Eisner Award winning story originally serialized in the New York Times Magazine, now collected with 40 pages of new material. Captivating, bittersweet, hilarious. This is a great book. We have three copies of all autographed. Call in right now with your pledge of support, 877-500-KBOO.
Now, Daniel Clowes, didn't he write 8 Ball?
He did.
I love that comic. I used to read those comics, and brilliant, brilliant writer, brilliant artist too. Great stuff. Also wrote Ghost World, which they turned into a very good movie back a while ago. And yeah, terrific stuff. But you need to grab the phone, dial 877-500-5266. It's time, carpe diem. Time to seize the day. Time to make your pocketbook count. And you can make that happen by dialing 877-500-5266. You can also, of course, donate online through kboo.fm, or you can come visit us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. You can meet the receptionist, have a cup of coffee, and enjoy KBOO.
Thank you. Yes, keep those phones ringing. The show is Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Counsellor, and we are joined in the studio by Chuck Palahniuk. The new graphic novel is Fight Club 2, written by Chuck, with art by Cameron Stewart and David Mack. So your early writing, it seemed to be almost like attempts to one-up yourself in shocking the reader book after book. Was that intentional, or was that something that was just sort of a side product of the direction you were going in with your writing?
It was a couple things. One was the writing had to continue to keep me engaged, and I have a fairly low threshold for boredom. So the writing really had to escalate in order to just keep me on board so I would want to do it. And in another way, people felt that because the writing was so challenging, that they had a license to tell me the most challenging aspects of their lives. So suddenly I had countless people telling me the most upsetting, heartbreaking, funny, absurd, but entirely true stories from their own lives. And I became this repository for everyone's darkest, funniest secret. And I had to do something with those stories to kind of be rid of them. So I found myself using those stories as much as possible just to process them out of my own mind.
Well, it sounds like you became almost a confessor to people, but you didn't have the discretion of a priest. You turned those stories around.
And I think when people tell their stories to a writer, they have that secret hope that the writer will do something that kind of honors the story, but also preserves it and shares it.
So, again, you're touring behind Fight Club 2, the graphic novel from Dark Horse, and you're also touring behind the collection of short stories that's just coming out.
Right, called Make Something Up, Stories You Can't Unread.
And you're going to be in town on June 5th doing a signing with Steve Lieber. Steve Lieber is a great comics artist. He's the artist behind Whiteout. And so you'll be at Things from Another World on Northeast Broadway on June 5th, starting at 3 p.m. is what I read.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. And you'll be signing copies of Fight Club too.
Right. And then beyond that, we might do another sequel, or we've also talked about doing a sequel to Rant as a graphic novel, because by that point, we should have a release date on the movie. We just signed the contracts for James Franco to produce and star in Rant. And Lullaby is going to become a movie. Andy Mingo locally is producing it. And so I'll be working on both of those projects. And I'll be rewriting scripts for as long as Dark Horse will let me for the subsequent issues of the Fight Club sequel. So my plate is very full for the next year or two.
So how can people find out more about you, your books, your other projects, upcoming possibilities, upcoming tours?
Boy, there's always the biggest fan site, and that is chuckpalahniuk.net, also known as The Cult. And also the writing workshop website, Lit Reactor, are both good places to check out.
Okay, Lit Reactor. Okay.
And chuckpalahniuk.net.
Okay. Chuck, thanks so much for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you very much, Kebu.
And if you can stick around and chat for a few more minutes, we'd love to find out more about your other works.
You bet.
And thanks to everybody who's called in during Words and Pictures today and started or renewed their membership with KBOO. Once again, I'm SW Conser. You can find an expanded version of this conversation later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Words and Picture. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Music Fest Northwest, presenting a weekend of music on the waterfront with Danny Brown, Modest Mouse, Beirut, Bell and Sebastian, The Tallest Man on Earth, Foster the People, Twin Shadow, and more. Tickets and full lineup at